Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your cities upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Thank you for tuning in again, friends. And what a joy, what a privilege, what an honor to be able to gather together with you. This is our time in the Word once a week right here, you and I. And I'm having a blast. I hope you're being encouraged. I hope you're getting something out of this. Send me an email if you're getting something out of this. It always just encourages me to know that you got something that helped you along your way. All right, we're going to jump right back into our thought here. So if you were with us last week, we were looking at Romans 7 mainly. Then we went over the Romans chapter 6. And today I think we're going to get into Romans 8, but let's just recap briefly. And Paul's talking about in chapter 7, he says there's something going on in his tripart being. There's the born-again spirit in which the law of God is written on the tablet of his heart. Now it's within. And Bob helps with the podcast. He's running all the stuff behind the scenes. But Bob and I were talking before we were recording, and we were discussing the law. And see, here's what's unique about the law. Okay, the law condemned. It didn't give life. The law, what it did, and Paul talked about that in chapter 7 even, that the law illuminated the reality of the condemnation that was due him because of sin. That dead man on the inside had the nature of its father, the devil, basically. And the law was external. We're talking about Old Testament law. The law was external, and it was harsh. If you've ever read through the Old Testament, you look at some of the requirements for sin or sinning against your brother. You know, even in the New Testament, they reference some Old Testament laws, like if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That was a principle in the Old Testament. Certain death, you were stoned, you were killed. And people look at that and go, you have to understand that man was depraved and their nature was dead unto God. The covenant they had, if you look at it in the proper lens, God's mercy was amazing. And so he said, here's this law. But see, what the law couldn't do was touch the heart. All it could do was an external restraint. Now, in a lot of ways, that law is still active today. In Timothy, Paul writes and he says, hey, listen, the law is useful. If you know how to use the law, it's useful. People that are not born again still need the external law, or they'd be going around doing all kinds of stuff. If you do bad stuff, you're going to get caught. There is a law. There's laws still in effect today that are there to restrain the depravity of man and the actions in the body, the deeds done in the body, because the heart is dead, black. It's black. It's death on the inside. We're talking about people that aren't born again. They don't have the laws of God written on their heart. Now, from within, they delight to do what's right or walk in righteousness. If you're not born again, you have no clue what that is. And so there's external restraint. What does the law do? It restrains you bodily because it can't get to the heart. All it could do was restrain them bodily. And, you know, this is why eye for an eye. If you took a dude's life in the Old Testament, say, or under the law, the only retaliation then was to take your life because we couldn't touch the heart. There was no change of the heart. If you had murder in your heart, you were murdering everybody. The only thing to do to stop you was to take your life. And if you look at the Bible from a kind of a 30,000 foot view lens, which most people don't, they're not even taking time to know God or know his ways. They look at passages and say, oh, God's such a meanie. Well, if he didn't do what he did, then certain people would have murdered everybody or stole everything or raped everybody or, you know, plundered everybody. There had to be very strong, swift, you might say violent, but these things had to come in strong to restrain the deeds done in the body until Jesus came and God was able now to get to the heart. And but there's still consequences for deeds done in the body. I'm going to talk about that today. So that's fascinating when you look at and you lay that over what Paul was revealing in light of the possibility of the new man. These letters were written to born-again believers. They were explaining, maybe, opening up and bringing us revelation on what we have in Christ Jesus, that now you're born again. Now you're children of the light. You're not children of darkness. Now the Father, Creator, which all you knew was Judge before, now He's Father. And you find out He's a good Father. He was Judge before you were born again. And you may have thought He was a meanie. But if there were no laws to restrict deeds done in the body, you would have murdered everybody. And you found out, wow, God is just and He's merciful. And His laws are fair and right and true. Oh, wow, friends. So now in Christ Jesus, we're finding about our Heavenly Father. And so thankful now that we're not on the side of Him as judge in this sense, because all we knew of Him was condemnation. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave Jesus, that whosoever would believe on Jesus would not perish but have everlasting life. And then John 3:17, for Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Why did He not come to condemn the world? I'm going to pause right there. I think you know the answer, but there's a bunch of bozos out here that are teaching a false gospel that includes this thing of don't judge, don't condemn anybody. Wait. You're condemned already. I don't have to bring a message of condemnation because you're condemned already. But see, some people twist that and they say, well, you know, sin's not a deal anymore. Grace, we're under grace. Sin's not a deal anymore. Now, sin is only not an issue for those who are born again. If you're not born again, sin is still a major issue. It's an issue for the born again person. I'm going to talk about that here in 2 Romans 8, but it's a real issue. If you are not born again, sin is your problem. And because of that, because your spirit is not born again, you are condemned right now. And the pushback that a lot of the church has embraced, the world's pushed back on that and say, we don't want to hear that message of condemnation. We don't want to hear that message of condemnation. Well, Jesus didn't have to bring a message of condemnation because the Father already condemned every sinner. Like, that is a no-brainer, friends. And rightfully so. Like, that is right. That is just. That is appropriate because man's heart were rejecting God. And He tried to help them in the Old Testament with the first covenant. He tried to help them. In particular, the ones that He came in covenant with, which later we found out were the Jews. But He tried to help them by giving them physical restraint. Like, don't lust after your neighbor's wife, don't steal, don't rob, don't have idols, don't commit adultery, don't murder, have no other gods before Me. And if you don't do that, though, then there will be swift repercussions. The repercussions were already coming. The fact that you quasi yielded to the law was the only mercy you had. You understand how that's like just, that's appropriate? I mean, I think you understand that that's legitimate. Or they would have raped everybody, stole everything, murdered everyone. It was a free-for-all. And you started to see that outside of covenant folk. You saw the world totally deteriorating. Why? Because man's hearts are evil. The born-again heart has rebellion removed. But if you weren't born again, all you knew to do was to rebel. You rejected God. Again, the law. Some people, man, I'm telling you, there is so much twisting of the scriptures today, and mostly it's people that don't know God. They're and how they approach the Holy Scriptures, and they turn it against God, like God's just this meanie. No, you are a sinner. God is not a meanie. God is just. You sinned. Condemnation is yours, friend. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And I'm not trying to be mean because that's where I was. Jesus came as the escape from condemnation. That's why His primary message was one of love, but it wasn't tolerance. It was one of love, but it was one of redemption. I mean, it was love, but it was redemption. Like, I love you, but you're going to die unless you yield, come on, to the path of redemption, which is the only pathway to redemption is to be born again. Because there's nothing, I have to get to your heart. If I don't get to your heart, you're going to continue sinning. So when you were born again, that's how you were redeemed from sin. And now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you're born again. You're born again. So the law now, same laws, don't commit adultery. Where's that written? It's on the tablets of your heart. You got absolute, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I usually take on a little more of a sharp connotation on my podcast, apparently, I've been told. But you got these bozos out here that are saying grace allows for you to do whatever you want and no consequences of sin. That is not true. That is a false gospel. I mean, that is hurting people, friends. When you're born again, the law that says don't commit adultery is now written on your heart. That law is not done away with, but now it's of the heart. Now, you didn't need an external restraint. Like if I catch you, okay, there's still some appropriateness to drag you outside by the nap of your hair. But before, see, it was almost instant death. That's what the law did. It's like if you're going to push against the law, and because your heart is so depraved, if you push against this law, condemnation will be instant. The only reason why you had mercy was because if you'll follow the law, if you'll obey these requirements, there's mercy extended. And the mercy was extended up until Christ could come and you could have a revelation of Jesus. This wasn't a free-for-all forever. You understand what I'm saying? I know you do. But we got professional bozos out here that are giving people license to sin. It's dangerous. Even if you're born again, Paul said sin in the body can still disqualify you. That's what he said in Corinthians, friends. He said, after even I myself, he said, I press towards that prize and I buffet my body. I discipline it. I subject it to hardships, lest after I preach to others, I myself may be disqualified. What is he saying? The body of flesh can still disqualify you even though you're born again. Because you have to put that body into subjection. So the law was amazing, and it's still useful today. Show me a place, goodness people, show me a place where the law is not useful. You get people that are going around murdering everybody, and they get caught for that. Why do they get caught for that? Because the law brought a restraint. Somebody's going to tackle that dude or that girl and put him in handcuffs and lock her away. Why? Because if you don't restrain that body, the nature on the inside will continue to perpetrate those atrocities. You're thankful for the law. I'm telling you right now, you are thankful for the law. Now, the ultimate hope is the gospel of Jesus. Jesus is not a gospel of tolerance. Are you kidding me? No. He's the way out of the nature of death. And if you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. Okay? If you're not born again, condemnation is still standing. You're only free from it in Christ. The wages of sin is death. Now, the only way around the death penalty, because it's coming to you if you're not born again, and rightfully so. Yeah, you know, I'm shocked at how some people process this. Before I say what I was going to say, let me say this. The gospel of Jesus is one of love. It's not one of tolerance. It's one of love. It's one of rescue. The gospel of Jesus is one of escape. Escaping what? Condemnation. Condemnation is coming to all who reject Jesus. The only way to life is through Jesus Christ. And if you don't eat his flesh and drink his blood, if you don't liken yourself with his death, burial, and resurrection, you are not going to be saved. You will face God as judge. You're going to face him anyways, but there's going to be a different, you're going to stand before him as a son if you're born again, and you'll be judged for the deeds done in your body that are worthy of reward. But if you are not born again, you'll stand before him as judge. And what's going to happen is you're going to get death. it is the death penalty. And people look at God, oh, he's such a meanie, he's such a meanie. Okay, then let these crazies go. Let these rapists, murderers, haters, adulterers, thieves, let them go then. Let them go. What gospel says just let the one who's dead unto Christ, hates God. Remember he said, the world hates me. The world is indicative of what? Heathens, rejectors, haters of God. They love their father, the devil, and they don't want anything to do with Heavenly Father. You and I only know him as Heavenly Father. Right now, they can't call him Abba. They're not born again. They know him as the judge, and rightfully so, my friends, because of the sin in their heart. They're going to be judged with the same condemnation that the devil himself is. They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's the ultimate destination. You don't want to be burned to death forever, kept alive just so you could have the full force, the brunt, brute force of death in your face, worms eating at you, then reject Christ. So the law is still in effect, friends, and rightfully so. Now, because it restrains the physical body, it can't get to the heart, but it surely restrained those murderers, those rapists. It'll restrain the depravity of man. Praise God for police officers that are instruments of that law. Praise God for other authorities in the earth that are instruments of that law. Now, God's desires that none should perish, but the only way to escape the full and right and true and righteous penalty for your sin is Jesus. Again, I'm repeating myself because we need to get some of these concepts correct. Jesus is not the God of tolerance. It is mercy. It is mercy. It is a time of mercy until you can be redeemed from the body of death. You have the down payment as the born-again spirit, but then you have to rule and reign in this world, in this life, over sin that's in your members now. And we're anticipating the hope of our full redemption, the glorious manifestation as sons. You are not gloriously manifested as a son 100% yet. You are within the spirit, but not bodily. People are teaching immortality like you got it today. You have it in the spirit. You don't have it in the body. You don't have it in the flesh. That hasn't come yet. And so between now and then, though, the deeds done in your body can still disqualify you from certain things, from this and that, from experiencing this and that. Some things are not a salvation issue, but you can still be disqualified, friends. The Bible makes that very clear, and you don't want that. All right, so let's go to Romans 6 here. I'm trying to get to chapter 8 before we are done with this day's podcast. So Romans 6, verse 11, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God, because via the Spirit you are. Praise God, now the law is written on your heart. That's what he said in Romans 7. I delight to do right according to the inward man. That's where the laws of God are written. They're not written on the tablets of your tent. They're not written on the walls of your tent. They're not hieroglyphics on the walls of your tent. They're written on the tablets of your heart. And he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You can, but he said, don't. Why? Because you're dead to sin. And now there's something on the inside of you that is empowering you, because now you have knowledge of righteousness, and you can't deny it, friends, because on the inside of you, that's where the law comes up from. And he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. You can, but don't. He says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. How would you do that? Well, the flesh, the mortal part of you, still has its passions and desires that it was led into when you were, before you were born again. And to the degree that your mind's renewed, you may still be dibble-dabbling in stuff you don't need to be dabbling in. But the word, Ephesians said, you've so learned Christ or righteousness. We have his righteousness because he's our tutor. And but you've so learned Christ. So he says, take off your former ways of living, like an old dirty shirt, one translation says, put on Christ. Well, how do you put on Christ? You put on his teachings. We have relationship with his word here. Now, if you don't, you're going to default back to the lust of the flesh. 1 John chapter 2, the world's falling, or the world's being done away with. Don't fall in love with it, because it is passing away. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You still have the capacity to lust after stuff. And James, I mean, how much scripture do you need here, friends? Oh, Jesus, we need all of it we can get. You know what I mean? But James says that you got to be watchful, because there's a quote, wisdom that's low, earthly, sensual, devilish. It's constantly trying to get you to alter your conduct. Remember, he said, if you're truly born again, then your conduct will reflect it. James 3. And he said, let those who are wise, he's talking about heavenly wisdom. He said, let them show it by their conduct. Paul talked about that. You'll know me because I'm practicing righteousness. Where? In the only visible, demonstrable realm right now that we have access to, that's the natural. You'll know if I'm born again because I'm practicing righteousness. Paul called it buffeting the body, crucifying that flesh daily, not pursuing its appetites, its lusts, and its desires and cravings. You'll see it. It's a stark contrast between worldly folk and people that are born again. They act different. They talk different. There's something different about them. It's because the light on the inside is busting forth through the corruption that is the flesh. He called it a treasure that's hidden within. It's a light, and it's shining out through this vessel that is frail, fragile, of the dirt. And soon, though, we're going to kick this thing off and take us a glorified body, an immortal body. But we have to put this tent in its place. So he says, do not present your members as instruments, your hands, your feet, your mouth, your eyes, your physical body. Don't present it to sin. You've been delivered from it. You have a different master now. Then he says, but present it to God. Remember in Romans 12, verse 1, he said, you, this is your responsibility. It's not your pastor's job. It's not your spouse's job, not your children's job, not your boss's job. It's your job to present yourself as a living sacrifice, the body, an instrument of righteousness, worthy of a sacrifice to the Lord. I'm yours to command. Tell me what to do. Tell me what not to do, and I won't do it. And now you've got the wherewithal, because of the born-again spirit, to follow through with putting that body of flesh in its proper place. He says, present your members as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, grace isn't just a free pass. Grace is an empowerment. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. You're capable of it, but don't do it. Now, the provision under grace would be something like this. When your members, when you, by an act of your will, choose to do something that is carnal, fleshly, improper, maybe we might say immoral, according to the moral standards of righteousness. We're not just talking explicitly sexual, although, listen, friends, that is a major deal. You got people all over the place that are getting in trouble for sexual improprieties. And we're talking about ministers of the gospel have been with us for decades, done global works, and suddenly getting caught with their pants down, basically. He's saying, listen, what is that? Some say, well, they weren't truly born again. Well, they probably were. But just like Paul, if they let that flesh live for a day, if they ask the flesh, hey, you feel like sleeping with that person, the flesh is probably going to go, yeah, sure, feels great. That's what he's saying here. You got to crucify that. Because if you don't, you're going to present your members as a slave of the same sin you were delivered from. He said, don't do that. Grace does not give you a pass. What it does provide, though, is like 1 John chapter 1, that you can come boldly now to the Father. See, before you didn't know him as Father. All you knew him was judge, righteous judge. And you knew judgment on the wrong side, okay? You knew condemnation. But now you know him as Father, and so you can go to him. And Jesus being our advocate, because he was in the flesh, he understands the temptations of the flesh, yet overcame. And so you can go to the Father, and you can say, man, I blew it. I mean, I totally blew it. And I repent of that, and I receive my cleansing. Now, depending on what the indiscretion is, there's still consequences in the natural, okay? And if you don't believe that, go try and steal something from somebody and tell me if there's no consequences. Listen, there's a really perverted grace message out there that gives a license to sin, and it's wrong. And here's why it's wrong. It's devilish. It's antichrist, because the devil wants you to get wrapped up in sin that can disqualify you. Don't take the bait, friends. You've been delivered from sin. Now, it may take a moment. It may take a minute. It may take you a bit. But you get some accountability, and you subject that flesh to hardship. And if it does sin, then you tighten the reins of accountability. And I'm telling you, friends, you start hurting enough every time you start going over there and doing something stupid, you'll probably at some point, hopefully, come to the place where you're like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. Being born again does not mean you are incapable of sin. I don't know who's telling you that, but that is a false gospel. He says, shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Of course not. But you can come to the Father, who understands the weakness of the flesh, and get educated. Where is it as in Titus? Was it Titus? I think I'd have to look, but he says, grace is our teacher. Grace ain't a free pass, but grace will teach you holiness. That's what Titus says. Grace will teach you holiness and how to put away from you unholy activities and things. He says, verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. There was no way you could do that without a born-again spirit. Now, he said, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of the mortal flesh that you still have, the tent that you have. Now, let's flip over to chapter 8. I'm just going to be able to touch on this in the last couple minutes here. But he says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, most people read that and they stop right there. I'm going to suggest something here that we need to conclude or consider, include and consider the rest of this verse. He says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is true. But there's a comma, and then this next phrase, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Here's what I believe this passage is saying in light of dozens of other verses. He's saying that there's no condemnation as long as you walk according to the Spirit. Remember Galatians 5, Romans 6, Romans 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you obey the flesh, he said, this is Galatians 5, you'll do the thing you don't want to do. You're not schizo, but you're alive unto God on the inside. That's the guide. You can trust that leading. But if you follow the leading of the flesh, you're going to wind up doing the opposite. It's oppositional to the Spirit. Now, if you follow the lust of the flesh, he's saying what you're going to do is you're going to activate condemnation associated with mortal flesh. If you walk according to the Spirit, you're free from that. If you subdue the flesh, remember Paul said he could still be disqualified. Well, what would disqualify him? The law of sin and death. That brings condemnation to deeds done in the or according to the mortal flesh. What's the provision to get around that condemnation? 1 John chapter 1, you have a heavenly Father that loves you. You have a high priest that's aware of the weaknesses of the flesh, and you can go and you can get cleansed by the washing and water of the Word, and you can repent. You have a provision of repentance and cleansing and forgiveness, cleansing of unrighteousness. But if you persist in the James 3 again, if you persist in that demonic wisdom that entices you to indulge in the things of the world or the flesh, then you're not free from the law of sin and death as it concerns deeds done in the body. You can do stupid stuff and you open the door to premature death. That's what he's saying here. But if you'll walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation to the mortality that you're wearing on the outside. Does that make sense? You are wrapped in a spiritual condition called mortality. It means unto death. And the law and sin and death is associated. It's the laws that govern mortality. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ are the spiritual laws that govern immortality, which is your spirit is immortal right now, but your body's not. And if you give in to the lusts of the flesh, those strong desires and cravings that are contrary to the Spirit, then you're going to bring in on that condemnation. He just said you're free from condemnation to those who do not walk according to flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I want to say something kind of funny, but somebody might actually take me up on it. So I'm going to say, don't do what I'm about to say. But if you don't think that's true, then just go out and just indulge in everything that your body wants to and see how long you live. The law of sin and death is going to swiftly get up in your business. Now, there are some things that may not be salvation issues. That's a whole nother topic. I don't really want to open that can of worms. It's a can of truth. But that's not what I need to be teaching in this very moment right now. What I'm saying is Paul said you can still be disqualified. Now, there's no condemnation to those that don't walk according to the flesh, but the provision for when you slip up, but it's not of the heart, that's the big difference here, is that you go to your Heavenly Father. You come to Him with a contrite and a broken heart. And the Bible says that He lifts the humble. So He's not necessarily looking for perfection. In fact, in 1 John, it talks about if you're born again, you don't sin. People go, wait a second. I love Jesus, but I just sinned. I got mad and I cussed at my wife or whatever, or my husband, or, you know, I gave the, I flipped off, you know, the guy down here at the stoplight or whatever, you know, and you say, man, dude, I sinned. Well, what he's saying is the born again person is not characterized by lawlessness. Okay. The unregenerate, the person that's not born again, they're characterized by who their father is, and that's lawlessness, the devil, sin. He's saying if you're born again, though, you're not subject to the condemnation that's associated with your flesh, because the redeeming quality is the Spirit of life within. Now you're associated, you're characterized by righteousness, not lawlessness. But then he said in 1 John, he said, don't be fooled, though. Whoever practices unrighteousness is unrighteous. He said, whoever practices righteousness is righteous. So we're talking about you're characterized or summarized. Your one mistake yesterday didn't rob you of your salvation, because your life is summarized by a heart after God. But listen, friends, don't some people want to play as close to the fire as they can. Just that's not appropriate. Okay. Remember what Joseph did? And I'm going to close here. Remember what Joseph did? Let me get my little closing jingle. Remember what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife put the moves on him? He fled. Notice what his life was characterized by. By choosing to do what was right in the moment of temptation. You and I slip up occasionally. But how would we summarize your life? And listen, if you don't think somebody's keeping track with you, friends, you are sorely deceived. It is appropriate for others, because fruit is proof. He said, you'll know them by their fruit. Listen, it is appropriate for people to have eyes on you, friend. Now, we don't mean to scrutinize or judge inappropriately, but if you're not living righteous, friends, you're going to be found out. But when you make a mistake, the Bible says, if you'll judge yourself, you won't be judged. This is the provision grace has amazingly provided for us. You sin, you know you messed up, you run to the Father, and you say, I repent in the name of Jesus. And he said, he's faithful, and he's true, to cleanse you from that unrighteousness. Why? Because you're his son, and daughter. Hallelujah. Well, I'm out of time on the podcast today. I hope you got something out of that. If you need prayer, you can reach out to us. You can go to our website, gracecitychurch.tv/prayer. There's a prayer form there. You can fill that out. You can fill it out in confidence, knowing that it will be kept private if that's necessary. Or you can click on there if you want somebody to reach back out to you. One of our prayer ministers will reach out to you and touch base with you. Or you can call us at 870-741-9099. Leave a message and a prayer minister will respond to you. I want to say thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. We're in our fifth year. I believe we are well over 200 episodes now, and it's been a joy. If you would like to contribute to help the podcast, to help thrust it out into the future, my friends, we would be honored if you would prayerfully consider financially supporting this podcast. You can go to the website, gracecitychurch.tv/give, and find out more there. Thank you so much. Again, this has been awesome. Have an amazing day. And until next time, be blessed.